trainer Josie Carroll. Really do appreciate you stopping by, Josie, and happy to have you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, nice to be here with you. And, you know, we were just talking about your resume, and you start looking at all the races you've won, and you start thinking about the two Queen's Plates. But we heard the clip of Edenwald winning in 2006 just a short time ago, and that was a very special day for you.
That was a really exciting moment, that first Queen's Plate. I mean, watching the Queen's Plate all my life and to actually jump up and win it, that was a pretty special day.
This is the way that you actually described it when you joined us on Trainer Talk a few months back, and I want to play this for you here because I think you'll enjoy it. This is the way you described that day in 2006.
When it was Edenwald, who was the first of my two. I mean, I'll never forget that day. It was surreal. That's what you dreamed of since you were young. I mean, the Queen's Plate's always been the aspiration, of anybody in Canada. And that day was overwhelming. I mean, it was crossing the wire in front was great, but I'll tell you the moment that, you know, it still almost brings tears to my eyes. It sounds kind of corny. When the horse walked back in front of the crowd and the cheer went up and it was pure love of sport. There was nothing about, you know, gaming or gambling, or it was just pure love of the animal and the sport and the appreciation from the crowd. I think I'll never ever forget that moment. I think that was the sort of the purest moment I've ever had in the sport.
Josie, I have to tell you, I love the way you describe that, and just pure love of the sport. You know, there's the movie For Love of the Game, right? Well, I can only imagine what it had to be like here at Woodbine on that day when that happened.
Yeah, and truly that was the greatest moment.
That's got to be a good feeling the second time you do it, because people can't say, oh, well, you know, she just got a nice horse and blah, blah, blah. But you do it two times, that's pretty impressive.
It was pretty special. I'd like to do it three. This will be the, you know, should we win, it would be the first year with one they had bred. We purchased the first two.
How long does it take you to know if a horse has that factor, that it factor, as I call it?
I think that particular horse showed it to us the first time we started breezing. And, you know, they're babies and you tell them go head and head, and he always had to have his nose in front.
He's got an impeccable record. Did he have an excuse in the Wanda?
I have no idea what happened there. You know, we had shipped up from Keeneland. I thought the horse was in good order, and he threw a bad race. Whether it was his first experience over this new track, it was a little loose that day, but I really don't like to make excuses. I have no idea. All I know is he came back, and he came back to form.
We are visiting with Josie Carroll, who is tied into this race and tied into the history of this race as much as anybody. She's won it twice. When she won with Edenwald back in 2006, she became the first female trainer ever to saddle a winner of this historic race. And we were just talking about a couple of the contenders that she has in this year's field, and both of those figuring to be among the favorites, with Amiz Gizmo and then, of course, with the filly Gamble's Ghost. And you told me, Josie, before the break, that Amiz Gizmo is a horse that just loves to win. How about Gamble's Ghost? Tell me about her.
Entirely different style of racing. She's a deep closer, but she has such a turn of foot when she gets in gear. She's a very, very fast filly, and you can use it tactically with her.
You know, you've told me on several different occasions, and I noticed as we were in the commercial break, you were on the phone with one of your assistants or a person that works with you, and you've told me on several occasions that it's your staff that means so much to you and helps you have so much success. Tell me about the team that you have.
I mean, no question. You know, my assistant, Lori Ellen, she just takes care of all the details so that I can concentrate on what I do. I can concentrate on the horses and the training, and she'll be behind me making sure that everything else gets taken care of. We have grooms and hot walkers that have been with me almost 20 years, many of them. So we have a staff that knows their job. I don't have to worry about that, you know?
Josie, fillies have done extremely well in the Queen's Plate against the boys. When it's getting closer and closer to make a decision as to whether or not you'll run in the Queen's Plate with a filly, I mean, what are the attributes of a filly that make you feel like I'm going to take a shot against the boys?
You know, both the fillies that I've run came out of the Oaks. Of course, Inglorious won the Oaks. It was an easier decision for her. She had a pretty uncomplicated trip when she won. I knew she was bouncing out of it well. This filly had a very troubled trip in the Oaks, got banged down, got a couple of little cuts on her, the outside of her legs from other horses banging her, and I was very, very hesitant about whether to run or not. Mr. Delos is the best. He said, if the horse isn't 100% and you're not happy, do whatever is right. So we set a lot of little parameters, and I said, you know, if she doesn't bounce out of that and the first day back training, not on the muscle and feeling good, we're not going. So she sort of passed that test. Coming up to a breeze, and I had asked Louise to go in a certain time with her. I said, if she doesn't hit her mark, no. So, of course, there she goes. Hits it, like, spot on. Couldn't have been better. Occasionally, after a work, she'll leave a little feed in her tub. I said to Mr. Delos, if she leaves any feed, we shouldn't go. We've got one good horse in there. I think she licked the bottom out of the tub that day. So, basically, she said, you know what? I want to go.
She emphatically answered for you as to whether or not she was running.
Yeah, usually it's not the trainer that's playing the devil's advocate, but you mentioned Mr. Delos is breeding better and better horses, and talk about that relationship with him and how that came around, and his goals and aspirations, and how you're helping him live out his dream.
Several years ago, he asked me to, he has horses with several trainers. He asked me to take a few horses several years ago, and we had some good success, and gradually he started funneling more and more of them my way, and because I do, you know, go to Kentucky spring and fall, which is where his horses are raised, he has started having me go out spring and fall and look at all the young horses and write him an analysis of everything that he can put in with what his farm people say. And from that, he makes some decisions on what direction he wants to go with breeding. And I have no input in that, but I tell him what I see. And then he figures that into his breeding program.
That's great. I love it when you come to Kentucky because you kind of fly under the radar, and you're always good for a couple double-digit winners during Keeneland. So you've always been one of my favorite trainers. And talk about the circuit that you enjoy. I mean, that's got to be pretty fun, going to Keeneland and coming here. I mean, back and forth, it's got to be great, huh?
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to have the kind of horses that can do that. We winter in Florida now. For many years, we wintered in New Orleans, but we've kind of moved over to Gulfstream for the winter, and then we usually hit Keeneland on the way up. And I don't hit Keeneland with a lot of horses. I really don't want to be away unless we're live. There's no point just going to be there. If we've got some live horses, we'll take them.
Josie Carroll with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Josie, when we come up to the Kentucky Derby in the States and the months leading up to it, we're talking about pedigree and we're talking about dosage, which used to be the hot topic, right? And can a horse get that mile and a quarter distance? Well, the Queen's Plate is also a mile and a quarter, just like the Derby. Are there certain attributes? I know Jeff asked you about fillies, but are there certain attributes that you look for when you're getting a horse and you're prepping them for a race like the Queen's Plate?
Do you know, the two horses that I won the Queen's Plate with both had great minds. They were both horses that handled pressure, handled stress. And I think you're going a mile and a quarter, that whole lead up, you're in the paddock, there's a lot of action, you're in there a long time. I think if they can keep their nerves together, I think you've got a much better chance.
Yeah, just like the Kentucky Derby. They do the walkover, and the horses are being greeted by hundreds of thousands of people. It's the same thing when they get to the paddock. Same thing here?
Exactly. And I'll tell you, actually, the funniest was Inglorious. She got over there, and a lot of the horses were getting very agitated and hot, and she kind of got tired of walking around, so she sort of snatched at the shank, put her head down, and started to graze.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. Basically, she said, I've had enough of this. If I got to wait, I might as well enjoy myself.
Have a little pre-race snack.
Yeah. And honest to God, that's unusual. You just don't see a horse relax like that with all that around. And I said, wow.
Do you do anything differently as a trainer to try to get them ready and get them acclimated for that type of environment? Or is there anything you can do?
There's not a lot you can do. I mean, that's a one-day kind of experience. Years ago, Woodbine used to put on a press junket, like a barbecue for the press to come over, probably a week out, and we were invited to bring the horses over. And if I thought the horses could handle it, I always brought them over because they got exposed to all the people swarming around them and watching them. And that, I thought that was really good when they did that.
That's one thing I've noticed here at Woodbine, guys. I don't know if you have noticed this too, but it still seems to be about the horse, right? Doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think all the different facilities, the different tracks that you have at your disposal to train, you can kind of, tailor make a program for a horse. That's got to be a tremendous thing to enjoy.
I don't think you could go anywhere where we've got a mile to PETA, We have a mild dirt. We have a 7/8 training turf that we can use 3 days a week. We have a big field to sort of mellow horses out in that's got a track cut around it. And we have a sand ring for when you, say, come in the spring and they're a little hot and you want to get them a little tired on a little ring. I mean, I don't know anywhere that has that.
Well, and Canadian racing is so unique with their Triple Crown because you have two tracks, but you have three races that are on three completely different surfaces with Tapeda, with traditional dirt at Fort Erie, and then you come back here and you have the mile and a half turf test to wrap it all up. Makes it very unique too, doesn't it?
It takes an extraordinary horse to do that.
Yeah. Is it maybe more difficult now that we have three different surfaces than it used to be in the past?
I would have to say so. Anytime you change it up like that.
Yeah, Roger Atfield, we asked him that question. He's won it three different times, of course, the Triple Crown. There's only been seven in the history of Canadian racing. He's done it three times, and he agreed. He thought that with the three surfaces now, it takes a very unique horse to be able to win the Triple Crown.
Absolutely.
So what's the preparation if you win the Queen's Plate? What do you do to get ready for the next one?
Hopefully get them rested up and get them to bounce back fast. They're certainly fit enough.
What's the spacing of the races with the Queen's?
3 weeks.
It's 3 weeks between each of them.
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes it challenging as well.
Very tight.
Yeah.
Josie Carroll here on HRRN. Josie, best of luck here tomorrow. Two horses set to go, Amiz Gizmo, and, of course, the brilliant filly who has been so, so good this year. That is, of course, Gamble's Ghost. Really appreciate the time, and we'll look forward to catching up with you tomorrow on the broadcast as well.
Thank you guys for having me.